here for a while? But you'll be here Sunday? Okay.
Well, this is the same time with one of
yeah, see, I'm out there. And I didn't even have to wait for a treat. I didn't even have to.
Yeah.
You can plug that. That's in the house.
Yeah. We come tonight to praise our Lord and our Savior and lay down all our worries and our troubles before Him. This next song is a new song to us. We've sung it once before, and what I have to say is only a foolish dream. What I found, your words and stars with no excuse to pass me through and make up for the end. Tonight to praise our Father. He's the giver of all life. He's the voice in the dark. Let us give our praise to Him.
Praise Father God, giver of life. Praise to the Lord.
The giver of life, the goodness and the light. We offer our praise tonight as an offering to you. We pray that that offering is pure of heart.
Lightning in his fist,
our God is an awesome God.
broken when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so you better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above in his grace. The high and God, our God is an awesome God. Well, the sky, the stars, the sun, the void of the night, our God is an awesome God. He spoke into the darkness and created the light. Our God is an awesome God. The judgment and wrath he poured on his servant, the mercy and grace he gave us at the cross. I hope that we have not too quickly forgotten that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above and with wings of heaven. For our God is an awesome God. When he rolls up his sleeves, he ain't just putting on a wrist. Our God is an awesome God. There is thunder in his footsteps and lightning in his fist. Our God is an awesome God. Well, the Lord wasn't choking when he kicked him out of Eden. It wasn't for no reason that he shed his blood. His return is very close, and so we better be believing that our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings of power and might. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wings of power.
Do we have any prayer concerns tonight, Nikki? Patsy and Aaron? Okay. Andrew? It's a co-worker of Beth Stornan. Great, that's Barbara Childs. Dylan? Okay. Thank you. Okay. I know. Jamie and I, later this summer, are going to be moving to Memphis. I've accepted a job as the Youth and Young Adult Ministry Coordinator for the Cumberland Presbyterian Denomination. And our denomination headquarters are in Memphis, so this requires me to move there. Right now, we have no idea what Jamie will be doing. So, we're happy and we're sad. I keep praying for it. We need to go on to something else, or I'm just going to stand up here and blubber. Nikki. That's this Friday. Let's go over here and I'll go here. Skylar. Amelia, honey. We will. Jade. Brandon. You say Nathan? Thank you. Are there any others? We have several new people tonight. We welcome you and thank you for joining us. Let us stand and pray for these prayer requests.
Lord Jesus, we're so thankful to be meeting here, to still be able to do so without being afraid. And we're grateful that you have saved us, and you've created in us new hearts, and things that we could not have done ourselves. And I'm grateful that you are the one that changes us, because we would just mess it up. And I pray for all the requests, Lord. I can't name them all, but for all the illness, I pray for healing. I pray for comfort for the families and for those that are facing the illnesses head on. And especially, Lord, I pray for any of these that have illnesses that are unbelievers, that you would use that opportunity to let them know that you're there and that you're the only answer, not just to their illness, but to this weary life we all lead. Ultimately, there's no illness that will defeat us, because we all be made new in you. I just pray for any that didn't mention, any worries or fears, anxieties of any kind, Lord, that you would comfort them in the mind, that you're not just a puff of smoke out there somewhere, that you're a real being that we can know and love, and that we can have you living in us, and not just, you know, something the preacher talks about, that you're real. And I pray, Lord, that anybody here that doesn't know you that way, I pray that tonight would be the night that you could reach them, and help us all, Lord, to be ready to say what needs to be said and to be obedient, knowing that you are still the one that changes the hearts, but that we must be obedient to tell them and to be used by you. And Lord, anything that I've forgotten to mention, I just pray that you know those needs, and just let your power be real to everyone here and your comfort. And although you are almighty and indescribable, you're also knowable, and we're so grateful for that, Lord, and we humbly pray all this in Jesus' name.
Thank you.
Before I bring Mickey up, is it warm in here? All right, we'll take care of that. Our speaker tonight now, do you want to explain what we're going to do? You want me to? Okay, all right. I'll let her take care of it.
Tonight's sermon is called The Handle, and we're going to start out with our scripture part, which comes from Matthew 11, verses 82 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Tonight's sermon is about many different things, but all tie into each other. The basic foundation of tonight's sermon came to me a few months ago when I was having a rough time and wasn't sure what to do. I was rubbing my head trying to think, to find answers to questions I had, and find solutions to fix my problems. This one.
Okay, can you hear me?
Jeez. Thought I talked loud enough. I didn't need a mic.
Okay.
Anyways, I was having a rough time and I was trying to find answers to questions and I was trying to find solutions to fix my problems. I started to think of when you're in a car and you're going 70 miles per hour down a big hill and it's a tight curve. What do you do in a time like this? You grab onto the handle above you. And we all know what handle we're talking about, the oh no handle. So, why do we grab it? Well, for support. Because we're scared. or maybe because it makes us feel safer. Well, like that little handle can save our life if we get into a car wreck. So I started thinking, what do we look for when we are stressed, scared, or just looking for something to make us feel better or comfortable? In other words, what is our oh no handle of life? For some, it's drugs, alcohol, therapy, sex, or even food. But really, it should be God. And I know it's hard, and I'm guilty of it too, that when we are stressed or something of the such, we don't stop and pray and ask God to take it off our shoulders. We deal with it in our own habits and think about and think we are all geniuses and can fix it ourselves. That's one of the things about our society today, is that in our times as Christians, we don't realize it, but we're all halfway hypocritical. When a friend has a problem, when you give them advice, you say, pray about it, give it up to God, and He'll get it off your shoulders. But when it's our problem, we don't do that. We try to find every other way we can to fix it or get rid of it. Most of the time, God is the last thing we think about. So back to what I was saying, a lot of people think they can fix their own problems. But in reality, we think we can fix it, but later on we just make it worse. Now some problems like a death or of a person close to you or something like that, we know we can't fix, but we don't cope with it in the proper way. We bump around and blame God and ask why. Why have you done this to me, Lord? How can you do this to me when I don't deserve this? Let me tell you something. Don't ever ask God why He does something. Ever. God has a plan, and you're just being nosy, wanting to figure out God's plan. God will show you. If you're truly looking for answers, God will show you. Don't ever ask why, because it may not always be the easiest way to understand it. We act like we're the CIA of the world, and we have to know everything that God's up to and His whole plan. Just accept it. This brings me to one of my topics, answers. When you're having a hard time and you ask God for answers, but you aren't looking for the signs, then do we really care to know? I mean, seriously, how can you be going through a hard time and telling God you can't handle all this yet when you ask God to give you answers as to what to do or what to say? Why do we expect God to hand us our answers on a silver platter right in front of our face? No, life does not happen like that. The truth is hidden. It is buried, and you have to dig to find the truth. God is a mystery. When you open your eyes and look for the answer, you get a better understanding as to what God wants us to do in our hardships. As for some, the answer is already in front of you, and you can't see it, or you don't agree with God as how you think He should handle things, or how He thinks His plan for you of handling things is, and you go about your own way of dealing with things. So, that's another thing. Why ask for help and support and answers if you're going to go ahead and do the whole fix it yourself? So then, back to the handle. So you're holding onto the handle scared, and you're about to need a new pair of breeches, and you're 5 yards away from a tree, and your status is what? You're scared, right? Of what, though? The tree? Maybe your life is flashing before your eyes, and you're worried about all your stuff back at home, and who's going to get it, and where it's going to go. Right? Wrong. You're scared of a tree. Are you kidding me? You must be kidding me, because a tree did not die on the cross for your sins. He did not give you salvation, and He did not give you eternal life and all the blessings that you have. You better not fear a tree and what it could do to you, but what the Lord can do to you. In Revelation 14, verse 6, it reads, He says in a loud voice, "Fear God and give Him glory, because the hour of judgment has come. Worship Him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the springs of water." To me, this means fearing that tree, you best be fearing what will happen to you after you hit the tree and don't make it, and you're standing before God in the day of judgment. If you want to fear the tree, you can go right ahead. But I guarantee you that God can do a whole lot worse to you than that little tree. Now, as you fear in God, you must trust in Him that He will protect you and keep you safe. For the second part of my sermon, the second part is about how do we get into our hardships. You had a fight with a friend, or you said too few many ugly words, or you told a lie and now you're in big trouble. Just little things that accumulate and make your week just so stressful, and just every little thing just adds on and just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Just the simple fact that things around you are getting tough and it's hard to deal. So, like it is one of the things that causes hard times, is also the aftermath of what you go through during hard times. So what is it? It's sin. There's sin everywhere. Even when you aren't in hard times, but they seem to be the answer when we are stressed. Sin is in every one of us. It defines us. In fact, when we sin, we are labeled by it. When you sin by drinking, you are labeled a drunk. When you sin by doing drugs, you are labeled a junkie. When you sin by having sex, you are labeled a slut. Sin labels us, and from our sins, and from that, all of our sins cover up our true label, Christians. Yes, we sin, and yes, we are seriously frowned upon when we sin intentionally. When we sin, we are looked at as hypocrites, since we proclaim God's word but do not act on it, but yet everyone sins. So, does that make it okay? No. Sin comes in every shape, size, and color. But one thing is for a fact, a sin is a sin, and to Jesus, no sin is bigger than the other. So, in our society, there is a scaling of sin. And a 5-year-old kid who doesn't believe is more likely to go to heaven than a 40-year-old man who believes but has killed 35 people. That's just how our society works today. So Jesus, they're both sinners, and no sin is bigger than the other. Though when we sin, we like to point the finger the other way and point out what Betty Sue has done worse. Not in God's eyes, though. It was brought to my attention that every time we sin, it counts for one time that Jesus was hit or whipped. Now, if that doesn't make you sick inside, then I don't know what will. Sin is supposed to be something you give up to God, yet we still always feel guilty. And though He may forgive us, we can't forgive ourselves. We carry around our sin with us every day, and we are constantly reminded of them. So how do you get rid of it? Honestly, after you have asked for forgiveness, you just have to forgive yourself. Let it go. Give it to God, because you know you are forgiven. But how do we know this? Because He died on the cross for our sins, and He rose again. That is how we know we are forgiven. If you need proof, it is in the Bible. The Bible is all the proof you will ever need to know that you have a Christ who loves you, and He died on the cross for your sins, and He rose again, and you have everlasting life. So let it go, give it to God, and get the sin off your shoulders. Once you give sin up, you are pure. You have a new clean slate. Sin is dirty and messy, and it stains. But Jesus' salvation can wash you clean and make you pure. But when you don't let go of your sins and you remind yourself, you fall into a pity party amongst yourself. You think of your sin, and it brings us back to us having hard times. So you and your boyfriend or your girlfriend have broken up, and you think you're in the worst pain that there's ever been in the entire world. You don't really have an excuse to have a pity party. And you don't have an excuse to think you've ever had the worst pain ever felt. Jesus never had a pity party. He never said, woe is me, I'm on a cross, somebody get me down, I hurt, I'm bleeding, there's thorns in my head. Jesus never said that. When you think of hard times, hold on. When you think your hard times is bad, and you think your pain is bad, let me ask you something. Have you ever been beaten or whipped? Did you have nails in your hands and feet, and were you put on a cross? You don't know pain, and you never will. Your pain versus Jesus' pain is uncomparable, and you have no excuse at all. When you think you have nothing or you have the worst life, think of starving kids in Africa, or people being persecuted in China for being Christian, or women being raped and abused and sex trafficking. Think of Jesus dying for your cross, dying for your sins on the cross. Then you come to me trying to have a pity party. Jesus was put on this earth to die for our sins, and yet we still sin. And we still sin in a way that we know consciously and intentionally it's wrong, but yet we think we can sin and tomorrow Jesus will still forgive us. But it doesn't work like that. So like I said earlier, when you sin, I want you to think about Jesus standing right there in front of you, and you're the one whipping him. I want to end tonight with a little cleansing service I thought of, and I want everybody to take 5 minutes, and I don't know if everybody got a note card, but there's some up here, pencils and papers, and what we're going to do is you're going to write down every sin you can think of. Now, I wrote down every sin I can think of, and next to it I put an X and how many times I think I had done it. But when I went to go type it, some of my sins were so numerous that when I tried to copy and paste it, it was over 2,000 pages. So that's just kind of telling you how many times you may think you've sinned, but in reality, you've probably sinned more than you can ever count. Some of mine were a billion times. Like, for example, I had hate. How many times I said I hated something, or how many times I thought I hated somebody, and the number next to it was 50,000. Or greed and jealousy, I put 25 million. And etc. So, I want everybody to just take your note cards and you write down your sin. You can separate if anybody needs to move just because you feel too ashamed. Someone's going to look over and keep your card. But I just want to take 5 minutes for everybody to just write down your sins and the number of times you think you've done it. And when everybody's done, we'll say a prayer and continue. Does anybody over there need paper and pencil? Oh, okay. What you're going to do is everybody has a pen and paper. And you're going to write down each sin you've done in your lifetime. Excuse me. And next to it, you can put like a times or an equal sign as to how many times you think you've done it. While everybody's doing this, I just kind of want to remind y'all to think about the little things, like every time you cuss, every time you say the Lord's name in vain, every time you blame God for something, or when you were little and you stole something, or just every time you've lied or been mad at your parents, or every time you've been angry or had lust over something or spent something unhealthy, just even think about all the little things. Now, I want everybody to take their paper with sin on it and crumble it up. And if everybody's willing, we're going to go outside and burn our sins. And the fire is going to represent the devil, and he can carry the weight of your sins. And that's it. That's all I have to say.
As we walk outside, if everyone can follow Tommy and Richie, they're going to lead us to the spot. We will have our closing song there and our closing prayer outside. If you'll join us.
Watch out, I mean, the sin's coming through. You want to get the door, babe? It's going to be a small fire, so I'm going to rip his bags open. See what I was printing off? Yeah, this is my thing. It is. I had to use filler paper. Because, dude, I ain't printing off one word 2,000 times. Or like 2,000 pieces of paper. It'd have been like really bad. It was one sin. How many times I thought I'd done it? Sorry for all you people in the... Is that our fire? Is that a fire right there? Well, kid.
So, Grandma can't burn.